Hello. Oh, no, you guys can't hear me. Can you guys hear me now? Okay. Hello, ladies. It is so good to be here. I am so excited to be here, but also I'm a little bit nervous because I'm used to being with little ones. And so there's like just a different vibe here. But okay, I love that. The little is inside of us. I'll just picture you guys as little three-year-olds. How about that? Or I can think of Jeremiah. Yes, I can. what did you say, Tina?
Childlike.
Yes, childlike. So my name is Shua. It's spelled S-H-U-A. And as Lydia said, I am one of the pastors here on staff. As many of you guys know, the theme for this year is threshold. It's about going further up and further in our relationship with God. Another term is the liminal spaces. It's the space between what was and what is to come. And so that is what we're going to be hitting up on tonight. Particularly, I'm going to be talking about beholding God's holiness in the threshold. In the year 2009, I'm just making a hard pivot because if you're in preaching class, they talk about how you should slowly transition into this, and I could not find like a way to transition into this. So we're just going to do a hard pivot. So in 2009, there was a young woman with tears streaming down her eyes, had an encounter with God on her bathroom floor. It was a radical encounter with God, and that night, there was an invitation that was handed to her to join God's family, and a calling was placed on her that night. She continued on the next few days, just full of passion. I mean, there was like a rebirth in theological terms. We call it regeneration that happened inside her life. She was just filled with so much passion, and as the years progressed, she continue to faithfully serve God within her family, within her friends, within her church, within her community, but she lived with a veiled view of the true nature of who God was. Her view of God was incomplete, and it wasn't until years later, in a season of loss after loss after loss, that a reverence came out of her from beholding God. And in that season, when she came out of that season, she just felt so conflicted. She was conflicted because she saw that many of her brothers and sisters still lived and served with a veiled view of the true nature of God, his holiness, his goodness, his mercy. They still lived with a veiled view, and her heart grieved. But in that season, in the beholding of God, those were the moments that prepared her for her commissioning years later. I think it is safe to assume, ladies, that if you guys are here, you guys are here because you want to know more about God. You're here tonight because you want to know about God. You also want to know his calling on your life, right? I mean, you don't come to the gathering with the theme called Threshold about going further up and further in just because you're here. I mean, some of you guys might, but you come here because you're wanting to develop a deeper relationship with God and to know him. And I recognize that in this generation, one of the primary sources in which we look to for information is the internet, right? You can pretty much find anything on the internet. You can chat GPT the secrets to staying young. And you will find that it will give you the Korean 12-step model. So I'm saving you guys the hassle of having to put that in there. But you can pretty much find anything on the internet. You want to know how to raise kids. You want to know how to handle tough conversations with your teenager. That's me right now. You want to learn how to make cauliflower pizza crust. You can just go on the internet and find that recipe, right? I notice that we kind of do the same thing with our relationship with God. We want to know God, right? So we scroll YouTube, We scroll our social media or our TikToks. We look for our favorite pastor. I'm guessing it's either Rob or Brian. We scroll through, and we look to them to tell us who God is. And this is going to ruffle some feathers, so I'm a little nervous about saying this. I think that for many of us, sometimes we worship the Bible more than we actually worship who the Bible is pointing to. We worship the Bible versus worshiping God. And I'm not saying that the scriptures is wrong and that you shouldn't spend time in the Bible. It takes both, right? But what I'm saying is there's a difference between knowledge and a difference between like truly knowing who he is. And so as I've like prayed and I've held the concept of like, okay, we're talking about thresholds, going further in, further up, and then we're also talking about knowing God. Like, what is the big question that I would be asking, that you guys would be asking? And as I have prayed, these are the questions that came to mind. What steps are we going to take when we reach the threshold? And how can we transition from that threshold into our true calling? And as I've prayed, Holy Spirit has led me to Exodus 3, where Moses encounters God in the form of a burning bush. Moses, in that moment, what we learn from Moses is that it is in the beholding that he was commissioned out. When we go to the source, which is God, it is then that the eyes to our hearts are opened, and it is in that beholding that transitions us from that threshold moment. Ladies, we're going to do things just a little bit differently because it is late, and I don't want to put you guys to sleep. And so we're going to do a little bit of talking. Well, I'm doing the talking, and then you guys are going to be doing the talking inside your little groups, okay? And honestly, I'm a person who I can't really project. So after 30 minutes of talking, I will not have a voice. So the first question, we're going to take 5 minutes, and I want you to, there's papers on the table. Take a few minutes to reflect the first question. And then if we have time, and if you feel bold enough, if you can share what you wrote to the ladies around you. The question is, what threshold are you currently experiencing in your life in this moment? I'm going to give you guys about 5 minutes. Okay, ladies, it's time for us to come back together. Sorry, you guys are going to have to listen to me again. Okay, before we jump into Exodus chapter 3, we're going to recap a little bit about chapters 1 and 2, because it's always important for us to know the context in which we're entering into. So right now, in chapters 1 and 2, the nation of Israel is in desperate need of liberation because Pharaoh, as we know, out of fear, has oppressed, he's enslaved, and he's killing babies now out of fear. Moses, who is the author of Exodus, he is narrating, he is writing the story of how despite Pharaoh, this powerful king who's ruling over this powerful nation, despite all that, Pharaoh still falls under the authority of God. We see that through his birth story that God has anointed Moses to be the deliverer. And so miraculously, Moses, for miraculous reasons, stays alive despite everything that's happened. And God provides by placing Moses in none other than Pharaoh's own household. He is adopted into Pharaoh's household. I want us to focus a little bit on Moses' family dynamic in this moment. So we see that Moses is being given away because of a hard circumstance, and he is adopted into a family who put an edict out for his death, pretty much, right? I recognize that for many of us in this room, our family dynamic may not look exactly like Moses, but we come from maybe broken family backgrounds. Maybe some of us have been casted out from our families. Maybe we're in a rough relationship with some of our family members. And I want us to focus on the fact that despite all of that happening to Moses, and despite it happening to us, ladies, we are the daughter of the Most High. That is our identity, and no one can take that from us, right? If you came into this space and you realize that, you know what, I've been kind of casted out from my family, you get to come into this room, and what, there's like 50 of us ladies in here? You have 50 sisters inside this room. And what is bounded here on earth is also bounded up in heaven. So this is for eternity. Your identity in Christ, your identity as God's daughter, that is sealed. And so that means that your calling and your purpose is not necessarily, how can I put this? Your calling is a gift from God. So your identity is not hinged upon what you do and what you don't do. And so as we continue on, this leads me to the next point in Moses' story. God has uniquely wired Moses to be a deliverer. In Exodus 2, Moses, he observes the oppression of his people. He sympathizes, and what is his response? His response is, he kills an Egyptian, and then he is exiled. And in the wilderness, he comes upon Jethro's daughters being bullied at the well. And what does he do? He steps up as an advocate, and he, in a sense, delivers them. Time and time again, we see that God has uniquely wired Moses to be a deliverer. He's an advocate. There is this justice piece inside of him. And so it's not the fact that Moses' desire for justice and for freedom that was the problem. It was actually that he went out and about in his own strength and his own timing, right? Somewhere along the line, Moses takes action because he doesn't think that God has his best interest at heart. And I say this because I recognize that some of us in the room have been waiting for a long time, like Abraham and Sarah. Maybe we've been waiting for that child. We've been waiting for that reconciliation between a friend or a family member. Maybe we've been waiting patiently. We've been faithful and waiting for that that husband, right? And we start to entertain the idea that God may have forgotten us in this season as we have faithfully waited. Some of us have even tried in our own strength, like Abraham and Sarah. I know I have on many times and on different occasions. And then we're left more discouraged than before. In the next 5 minutes, can we spend some more time answering that second question on how and why have you attempted to act in your own strength? And if you feel comfortable, try to be specific. You don't have to share all the details of your life to your group, but if we can try to be specific in this moment, we're going to take another 5 minutes. Before I continue, are there three ladies in the room who would like to share their response? And granted, you don't have to share. I think that there is power when we speak these things into community. And there's also a sense of knowing that we're not the only ones who do it, right? There's a sense of knowing that we all do this together, right? Do I have three? And granted, we don't need to.
I'll share.
Okay.
I just wrote that sometimes I act in my own strength because God isn't moving fast enough for me. I'm not moving at my speed. I know what needs to be done. I see what needs to be done. So why not just take care of it?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing, Angie. Anybody else? Okay, I think we'll go here and then we'll come right over here.
I always think that something looks like a good opportunity. Oh, let's do it. And so I have learned the hard way that's not always the case. And example is I thought I was going back to school and to become a drug and alcohol counselor, and like it looked like the finances were coming through. Yay, my life is set. And then it didn't. And so, but then having the experience of where God was leading me was a really good thing to think back on, so I don't have that tendency. He put me into a whole different program that's actually much more fulfilling and more about who I am. So that was always me, ooh, good opportunity, let's do it. And that's not always the case.
Yeah, yeah. And then right over here, thank you for sharing.
For me, it's my finances. I always tend to, so like when my son was in younger and there were sports to pay for or this or that mm-hmm. to pay for, or we might be running short, instead of going to God and maybe God would have brought something that somebody to me that I'm actually making it so people can't be blessed by blessing me necessarily. And also it's, for me, it's trust. I come from a broken home, and so people had let me down pretty much my whole life. And so trusting God is really hard for me. And I feel like every time I'm reading my devotionals and doing the things, that's all I hear God say to me is just trust me. And so I would say that's, for me, is what it is.
Thank you guys for sharing. I find that many times we want to like rush through our threshold, especially in a long season of waiting. And when I'm saying like it's a long season of waiting, it's not like we're just sitting here waiting. It's painful, right? Our hearts are in it. Our minds are in it. Our souls are in it. And we often tend to want to rush through it. But in that waiting process, in that threshold, there's also a spiritual formation that happens in that very moment. It's when the false self is being like stripped away and then the true self is like coming out. And that piece right there prepares us. It's what we call the years of wisdom that can only be gained in that like threshold of the in-between. I didn't plan on sharing this. But if anybody knows me personally, they will know that I am a perfectionist and I'm also a control freak. my three kids were diagnosed with autism. And when my kids were diagnosed, the first thing that came to my mind was, I am not going to grieve. Because why should I grieve? You know, I gotta like fix this, right? And so I spent years and years trying to fix something that wasn't fixable. And it wasn't until I finally let that go and stopped trying to take control of things. I mean, my heart intention for my kids to have skills and to be able to communicate wasn't necessarily like a bad desire, but it was the fact that I was going about it my way and my timing, right? And so it wasn't until I finally let that go, I grieved, and I stood in that threshold of just waiting with open hands when I started to realize the false self being like stripped away. And I say that, and it may sound like, oh my God, you're a good job, but it was a fight. It was a real fight between me and God. But those moments are so crucial because that is when our false self starts to come out. They call it the dark night of the soul. It's when there's like a radical dedication, and what comes out is this like exponential like spiritual maturity that comes out. We're finally going to go into Exodus chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles or if you have your phone, If we can scroll or flip to that page, it's Exodus 3. We're going to be in verse 2. In Exodus 3, verse 2, it says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from within a bush. He looked, and the bush was ablaze with fire, but it was not being consumed." This is Moses, yep. I want to draw your attention to the word appeared, because the word appeared here is the same Hebrew word that is used in Genesis when God appears to Abraham to form a covenant. A covenant is when there are two parties involved and there are obligations and there is outcomes. And this covenant with Abraham is unique and it is pretty special because it is actually God who's doing everything. My man Abraham is just like out and about doing his thing, you know, and God appears to him. And after this covenant, it is actually Abraham that comes out blessed. When God appears, he usually does in unexpected ways and in unexpected places. He does so throughout the scriptures, and I believe that he still does that today. And when God shows up, it usually means that he's going to do something pretty big, right? I mean, I notice that my youngest, love him to death, but he has this habit of waking up at 3 in the morning. It's just like this internal clock in him, and 3 in the morning, he's up, he's wired, and it's this long season of trying to get him back into the same routine. And at 3 in the morning, in the mess, and when I say mess, it's me who's a mess. It's not him, it's me. In the mess, in the most unexpected time, unexpected places, it is usually during those early mornings that I come face to face with God. It's when God appears, he comes in power, he comes in movement, and I'm the one who leaves being spiritually blessed. I think that many times, it's not that God doesn't appear. I think we're just so busy in life that we don't even take the time to like stop and really look. I think C2, Pastor Angie does such a great job. She teaches our kids, hey, where are the God of moments in your life? And it's where do you see God on the move? I think our kids do it so well. When we continue on to verse 2, it says, "He looked and the bush was ablaze with fire, but it was not being consumed. Moses looked and turned aside to see this amazing sight." Moses is a shepherd right now. He's been probably shepherding for about 40 years now. Do we have any shepherds, farmers in the room? No? Oh, okay. I'm imagining, because I am not, but I grew up raising chickens, and it's hard to keep track of chickens. They just run all over the place. And so I'm imagining Moses being a shepherd, you know, he's kind of got to be on his toes and keep his eyes on his flock. And in this Moses, it says that Moses looks to the burning bush. He is interruptible. And when you actually look at the Bible scholars and when they describe the look, it says the look that Moses gave the burning bush is an intense gaze, raised eyebrow with excitement. He stops what he is doing. He is interruptible. In this moment, he is beholding God's presence, God's power, and God's action, and he moves toward God. Sisters, as we think about our day-to-day routine, are you interruptible? Are you able to stop and make space for God, for his presence, for his power, and his movement? We're going to transition back to our tables. And if we can answer that last question together, what practices or habits do you currently engage in that help you to be more aware of God's presence in your life? Where are you making space for God in your life? Okay, so we continue in verse 4. In verse 4, it says, "When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from within the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses said, 'Here I am.' God said, 'Do not approach any closer. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground.' He added, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' Then Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God." I want you to notice that God calls Moses by name. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the I Am, the holiness, calls him by his name. This signifies that there is a specific and a very personal relationship. He's affirming his identity in this moment. He's saying that I am the father of Abraham, right? And because you fall under Abraham, you are also part of my family. He's affirming his identity in this very moment. Moses has been living in the liminal spaces for about 40 years, right? He's in the what was and what is to come. And he's probably thinking, you know, did God forget about me? What am I doing? I have all these skills and these talents. I know I have this passion for my people to be delivered. Has God forgotten about them? Has he forgotten about me? Moses is now at the threshold of the door, right? And he's feeling pretty nervous. He knows that he was made for this, right? Because who else could understand Egypt like him, right? There's a specific reason he was raised under Pharaoh's household, right? But the story isn't all about Moses in this moment. This story, in this very moment, is actually about God and God's faithfulness. The fact that God has uniquely made Moses, he has put a divine calling on Moses. This is about God's faithfulness 40 years later to Moses, but also God's faithfulness to his people. God is affirming Moses' identity by saying that you are mine first in this beholding moment, and then he gives the instruction. In the beholding moment, when we are given our identity, that is then that we are able to be commissioned out. And so for many of us in the room, you are standing in the threshold between the what was and what is to come. We all have unique and very different journeys, and it can be a little discouraging. But can I encourage you to trust the process? Because God has not forgotten you in this process. He still has a calling for you. So in the middle of the raising children, the maybe ongoing health battle, in the faithful everyday obedience, God has not forgotten you. This moment in the waiting is causing a ripple effect to happen for when you reach that threshold. And for some of you, you are right at the door of the threshold. God is calling you to something. It's right in front of you, and you may be feeling a little bit nervous like Moses. I know I was super nervous. May I encourage you to take a moment to look upon God, to behold his goodness, to behold his holiness, because it is in that beholding that we are aligned again to him. When we are realigning our identity to him, that's where it starts, so that we are then commissioned out. Our ability to impact the world is deeply rooted in our intentional practice in the beholding of the glory of God. Can we pray together? Lord, I just thank you for your presence. I thank you for your power, for how holy you are. God, you can do all things, but you choose to partner with us. You choose to call us your daughters, and we are so thankful for that. Father, there are some in the room who are still in the waiting. They are still in the threshold. Father, I pray that you would give them peace and a perseverance I pray that this week you would make your presence known to them in such a profound way that the veil is torn. I pray for those who you have been stirring something inside of them. For those who are right at the door of the threshold, you are calling them to something. You are calling them to be going further in and further up in a relationship with you. I pray that courage would rise from them. Courage that comes from beholding you. And we do all of this for your glory because you are so good. You are so good.